Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. A different kind of restaurant today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us today, Wednesday, March 25th, 2026, for our entertainment article for the month of March in your trusty Advanced magazine. It is called Dining Underwater and Tasting Fire. So some interesting wordplay right here in the title of our article, and we will unpack this and understand how both those ideas can be true, that you can dine, that you can eat your dinner underwater and yet taste fire. Although perhaps it's not meant to be happening at the same time, but that's something we'll also find out today. And of course, we'll also talk about the English in our article, talk about the vocabulary, give you a chance to practice and grow in your confidence in English. It's a two-day article we have here today and tomorrow, so we will hope that you join us for both days. And by we, of course, I do mean myself and my co-panelist joining us for both days. Please welcome to the studio, Rhonda.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me. I always enjoy conversations with you, as you know.
Always good to have you here, Rhonda. And Rhonda, as we said, we are talking about a different kind of restaurant, a new kind of restaurant. It is a memorable restaurant that you've been to.
A restaurant called the Wagon Wheel in my hometown where I'm from, which is the farmland of Illinois. This is a tiny restaurant that is very popular with the local farmers, and they serve one thing, fried chicken. The best fried chicken. So people say, let's go to the Wagon Wheel for fried chicken tonight. And it's a very small restaurant. Maybe 15 people can fit inside of it or 20. Mm-hmm. And the decorations are all done with blue jean material, denim. So denim curtains, denim tablecloths. So since you asked me that, I thought of the Wagon Wheel because it's really the opposite of the restaurant we're going to read about, which is not in farmland. It's
right in
Los Angeles.
It's in Los Angeles. And yeah, like you say, that your description of the Wagon Wheel restaurant sounds like just about the complete opposite of the restaurant that we're going to read about today in our article today and tomorrow. Yeah, for myself, a memorable restaurant that I've been to was also out in the Midwest, sort of your neck of the woods, a little further south though, in Kansas. This is some time ago when I was still making a living as an actor back in New York City, and one of my jobs was a tour of a show. I think it was Romeo and Juliet, or maybe the Shakespeare play or something else. But we went, it was like a 2-month tour, and we would play at schools 5 days a week, actually, drive around the American Northeast and get into some performances in the Midwest as well, in Kansas. And in the evening, we'd always go out to a restaurant, a local restaurant, and enjoy ourselves. And there's this restaurant in Kansas City, Kansas, a steakhouse. I forget the name of it, but it was, I mean, I'd heard about steakhouses. I've never been a big steak eater, so I'm not a connoisseur. I'm not an expert on this. But that was just about the most delicious steak I'd ever had.
Well, that's what Kansas is known for. In fact, I don't know if you saw in Kansas City, there's an enormous statue of a steer, as we would say, a beef cow, a steer, this enormous statue. You were in the heart of steak country, so I'm not surprised you tried a steak.
Right, right. No, I'm glad I did, too. It came with potatoes au gratin on the side. I mean, I'd had those before, but this was like the best potatoes au gratin I'd ever had. And then we polished it off with some ice cream or something. Just a terrific meal. And, you know, it was a kind of a large place, probably sitting about 50, 60 people, I'd say, called itself a steakhouse. And if I remember correctly, it had kind of an old West theme to it. I mean, there weren't people walking around in costumes, but that was like the decor. A lot of wood, a lot of 19th century American Western kind of architecture in it. And you're just chowing down on a nice juicy steak, and it tastes great. You know, it wasn't just the atmosphere. It was good food. It was top quality food. And I've never forgotten that meal. But yeah, a memorable restaurant can be a truly memorable experience. And we will today, I think, read about what sounds like it may be a memorable restaurant. It's a new restaurant, as well as being a different kind of restaurant. So let's get into our article and see what we've got here. We'll do two readings today. So if you want to open your magazine, if it isn't already, to the entertainment article for March, beginning on March 25th, and we will go into our first reading now.
Dining underwater and tasting fire. An immersive restaurant where the goal is wonder. To set foot inside the gallery, a new restaurant and bar in downtown Los Angeles, is to be whisked into a world fit for a theme park. In the place of windows, you'll find a fantastical, idealized city, a skyline vision that looks ripped from an animated film. Stroll into the dining room, and you may see a blank canvas. Soon its walls and tables awaken to place you underwater, in nature, or surrounded by scalding hot lava. At times, you can place your hand on the table and wait as fish swim towards you. Or you can trace a circle around a plate and watch flowers spring to life around it. Each scene, each dish in the five-course meal is conjured via a performer, their dance-like moves choreographed to digital projections designed to evoke a sense of curiosity. Linger in the bar, and you'll notice dozens of scenes unfolding inside the windows of the skyscrapers, each one an improvised, abstracted story. The full experience is called Elementa, a two-hour dinner that explores the five classical elements.
All right, so we've got a lot to unpack here. Starting right with our deck, right under the title of the article, it says, an immersive restaurant where the goal is wonder. What kind of restaurant is that, Rhonda?
Immersive means you are having an experience that fully takes over you. To be immersed is to be surrounded by something. You might be immersed in water. An immersive restaurant means there's an experience that you will be completely involved in.
Right, right. An immersive restaurant, usually in terms of restaurants at least, you use, or restaurant schools, theatrical productions can sometimes be described as immersive if the action, the main thing that you're there to do, takes place all around you. I taught briefly here in Taipei in an immersive English language school where the students were actually, they would get in trouble if they were heard not speaking English during the school day because the administrators of the school wanted it to be immersive. They wanted the students to, to be immersed, surrounded by English, not just in English class or, you know, with a language teacher at some time of the day, but throughout the day. And it's the same here with a restaurant. A restaurant that immerses you in something does more than just give you food and a place to sit down. It immerses you in a theme or a story, as we'll see here. So our restaurant then in Los Angeles is called The Gallery. And our author begins this article about The Gallery with an analogy. He compares one thing to being like another thing. Now, the one thing he starts with is right there in the first line. To set foot inside the gallery, to set foot meaning to take a step into, to go inside the gallery. To set foot inside the gallery, a new restaurant and bar in downtown Los Angeles, is similar to what, Rhonda?
To going into a theme park, a place where there are rides and exciting activities like Disneyland. So the restaurant is like a theme park, or you've heard the phrase amusement park.
Right.
And if you're whisked into it, it means as soon as you walk in, you are suddenly, quickly in a new world, a world that is appropriate or fit for a theme park.
Right, right. And it goes on to say that in place of windows that you might expect in a normal restaurant, you'll find a fantastical, idealized city. Two words there, fantastical, meaning based on fantasy, probably not a real actual city, but a fantastical one, a sort of made up one. And also describes the city as idealized. And that is a more interesting term. Mm-hmm. How would you describe idealized, Rhonda?
Well, it sounds like the perfect city, the city that would be, have all the perfect qualities of your imaginary perfect city.
So. Right, right. To be idealized means to be the perfect form of something, but it depends what your idea of perfect is,
you
know,
go.
or what that thing is. The idealized, you know, small town would look very different from the idealized big city, because those are different things with different purposes. So that's kind of an ambiguous term, but I think it gives us the idea that, you know, this is a fantastical sort of, city, perhaps the kind of city we might see in a movie, that is about a made up city and not a real city. And it has also a skyline vision, The skyline of a city is that view of a city you have when you're outside of it and some distance away, but you can see the tall buildings. You can see the distinct buildings up ahead of you. That is what's known as the skyline of a city. Skyline, because it's the line of the buildings of the city, usually the downtown part of the city, where they touch the sky, where they meet the sky, like where the sky meets the horizon. The skyline of a city is where the buildings meet the horizon. So this fantastical, idealized city has a skyline vision that looks ripped from an animated film. So again, emphasizing the sort of fantastical quality of the interior of the restaurant here. And then we're invited to, and this is a theme that the author uses throughout our first section here, various things that we're invited to do. First, we were told to set foot inside the gallery. And now in the next sentence, in the second paragraph here, it tells us to stroll. To stroll means to walk casually, slowly. Stroll into the dining room and what, Rhonda?
You may see a blank white wall or a blank canvas, like something you'd get ready to paint on. Soon its walls and tables awaken. That's some imagery there. They begin to change. They begin to come alive, and you, instead of a blank canvas, you are underwater. You are in nature, or you are surrounded by scalding, burning hot lava. So that doesn't sound like something that would make me want to start eating a meal,
but it
would be entertaining. So you stroll in and you see what looks like a calm, blank wall. And suddenly all this excitement is taking place.
Right, right. All these natural images from nature suddenly appear. They awaken. The walls and tables awaken. It's an interesting way to describe it, as though they were sleeping, which of course they weren't, but it is a nice poetic term to use. And it goes on to say, you know, after you've strolled into the dining room, third paragraph now, you can at times place your hand on the table and wait as fish swim towards you. And this is obviously a digital projection of fish, not actual fish swimming towards you. But simply by placing your hand on the table, it seems, you trigger that thing to happen. Or you can trace a circle around a plate and watch flowers spring to life around it. Each scene, it goes on to say, each scene, which is the same as saying each dish in the meal that you'll be served, each scene or dish is what, Rhonda?
Conjured by a performer, conjured as appearing as if by magic,
right,
appearing suddenly. Peter, do you notice that in this whole paragraph, the writer is saying you. Mm. He's really writing in a way to immerse us in the experience.
Yes.
That's why he's saying you do this, you do this, you can do this. That's how begins this article, to make us, the reader, feel like we are right there.
Yes, great observation, Rhonda. This is an immersive article about an immersive restaurant. Well, good noticed. And so, yeah, each scene or dish is conjured via a performer, produced as if by magic, their dance-like moves choreographed to digital projections designed to evoke a sense of curiosity. So as each scene or dish is brought out by this performer or by a performer, they do it in a dance-like sort of way, choreographed, so they don't just walk over to you and place the dish on your table. There are very specific moves that they make, like in a dance, and choreographed, that's the word meaning to arrange how dancers should move during a performance, whether they should go left or right, whether they should kick high or leap or twist or turn or whatnot. That's the choreography of a dance. So as the waiters, the performers, are bringing you your meal to eat, they bring it with this, you know, in a dance-like way, with choreographed moves, in accord with the digital projections that you are seeing. So I imagine if you're seeing fish, the performer waiter might sort of slither or swim over to you like a fish. I don't know. I'm just imagining here. But that's the goal, according to the very last phrase in the paragraph there. It is designed to evoke a sense of curiosity. To evoke meaning to give rise to create, to trigger a sense of curiosity.
Notice it's not a sense of hunger.
Yes, certainly.
We are in a restaurant, but yet. Instead of a regular waiter or waitress, we have someone who is moving in a planned way to entertain us while digital projections, so pictures on the wall, are matching their moves.
Right. And then there's a final thing that the author invites us to do, and that's to linger in the bar. To linger, we all know what a bar is, I think, but to linger means to stay longer in a place than you really need to, ideally because you enjoy it, but there could be other reasons to linger. But in this case, if you linger in the bar of the restaurant, what happens, Rhonda?
You'll notice dozens, many, many scenes unfolding, and that's a nice English phrase, the scene unfolded.
Yeah.
We might use it for theater. Scenes happening inside the windows of the skyscrapers. Remember, those are on the wall that was once empty, but now this is being projected. And inside those windows, in each one, there's a action taking on, an improvised, made up on the spot, abstracted story. I understand improvised. It means to invent it from your imagination rather than planning it.
Hmm.
But an abstracted story, I don't quite understand, Peter.
Yeah, abstract. It's an interesting use of the term abstracted there. Normally, we think of an abstract, the noun form, as that summary, typically in a scientific article of some kind or an article that appears in a scholarly journal. It's called an abstract, and it appears right at the beginning of the article. It's usually just about a paragraph that sums up the entire article and what you're about to read. And so to use it here, we're not talking about reading a magazine, but the abstracted stories that the performers in the windows are improvising while you eat your dinner, I think just means that they are broad and simple stories, not filled with a lot of detail or nuance, just like the abstract in a scientific article focuses only on the broad ideas, the overall outline of the article, rather than getting into the details. So I think that's how abstracted is being used here, just to tell us the kind of story that's being unfolded, because of course we can't hear any dialogue being spoken. We see the people interacting, but not necessarily speaking, so you can think of that as an abstracted story, and improvised, of course. So that's always interesting to see actors work without a script, and what they come up with. Anyway, our final line there in the section describes, sums the whole thing up, the full experience now, is called Elementa, a two-hour dinner that explores the five classical elements. Rhonda, what are the five classical elements?
Well, in old traditions or some ancient philosophies, there are five basic parts of the created world described: earth, wind, fire, and water are the four that we typically hear of. Sometimes five are included, and the fifth can be metal or wood or something that's more of an idea, like, I don't know, the cosmos. We'll talk about that term as well. I want five classical elements, so those basic things to creation, earth, wind, fire. Elementa is the name of this place, and I want to say Elementa is a made-up name for this restaurant. We don't have that word Elementa in English, but obviously the restaurant's name is based on element.
Right.
Basic.
Exactly.
These basic things.
They tell this story. This dinner is themed along the five classical elements, so they call it Elementa, just to give it a little zip. All right. So that's the basic setup of the restaurant here. And let's go into our second reading now and learn a bit about the designer, the creator of this restaurant. Let's go into our second reading now.
A visionary designer. It's a tough world we live in, says the gallery co-founder Darren Ulmer. If I can give you some relief, I think it's therapeutic to take you to some other world and allow you to imagine, to dream, to relax. When Disneyland celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company, it did so with a new nighttime fireworks show, Wondrous Journeys. Ulmer, via his company Mousetrap Media, collaborated with Disney on the experience, designing projection mapping that could be seen on Sleeping Beauty Castle and elsewhere. Mousetrap's extensive portfolio also includes experiences at the Kennedy Space Center and One World Trade Center. For the gallery, Ulmer created a new company dubbed Allurium, but it's closely connected to Mousetrap, featuring many of its same staff. And it pulls from Ulmer's love of theme parks.
Okay, so the gallery, that's the name of the restaurant itself. We mentioned it way back in the very first line of our first section, and it's helpful to be reminded of it now. The gallery, Elementa, is the name of the production, and the gallery is the name of the restaurant itself. The gallery was co-founded by Darren Ulmer. I don't think they mentioned the other founder, but maybe they were unable to reach them for comment for the article. Anyway, we meet one of the founders, one of the co-founders, Darren Ulmer, and Mr. Ulmer says that it's a tough world we live in. It's a tough world we live in. If I can give you some relief, I think it's therapeutic to take you to some other world and allow you to imagine, to dream, and to relax. And that word therapeutic, you might recognize it from therapy, or someone who treats you in a therapeutic way as a therapist. It means to comfort you by relieving stress, anxiety. It's the word therapeutic is used sort of in a less clinical way than therapy or therapist, simply to mean something that relaxes you or comforts you in some way. And then, having no sooner have we met Mr. Ulmer, the co-founder of the restaurant, but we're talking about Disneyland. And it says in the second paragraph, when Disneyland celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company, it did so with a new nighttime fireworks show called Wondrous Journeys. Now, Rhonda, why are we learning about this nighttime fireworks show, Wondrous Journeys?
Because Darren Ulmer was the one who created that. He has another company called Mousetrap. Notice that the two P's and the E at the end of Mousetrap are not the usual way to spell trap, but this is how he named his company. Mousetrap Media, and he worked together, collaborated with Disney to project some images, to do projection mapping, project images on a big castle.
Right.
So he really likes big technological showy experiences for people. He started a company called Mousetrap, and part of what Mousetrap has worked on, the extensive portfolio, includes his work at the Kennedy Space Center, that would be in Florida, and the One World Trade Center. Is that the New York?
That would be in
Trade
New York
Center.
City.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And for the gallery, for this restaurant, he created a new company. So this guy is very much an entrepreneur, and he called his new company Allurium. He dubbed it. He called it Allurium. And you see the word allure in that, to draw people in. So
yes.
he really uses these creative names
that he likes to describe
what the experience is.
Play with names, yeah. Allurium, kind of like a museum, but a museum that allures you, perhaps, that draws you in, the allurium. Again, that is a made-up word. You can't find it in a dictionary, but it uses words that you can find in the dictionary. It's closely connected to mouse trap, or perhaps that's mouse trapper. the extra P in the E, at least to my eye, give it a sort of European, almost Germanic feel.
I think of that family, the Von Trapps, famous Swiss family known for their singing. So I think he's made a funny name where he's taken mouse, referring to Mickey Mouse, and put it together with almost what sounds sophisticated. I think he's made a funny name instead of a mouse.
Yeah,
a mouse trap is that little thing you put on the ground to catch a mouse.
Right, right.
But
and
mouse trapper.
Yeah. He's giving it a little flourish, a little sort of extra elegance, perhaps in a comical way. But yeah, the Walt Disney Company he had worked with on their 100th anniversary, with his projection mapping, like Rhonda said, that is, projecting an image on a surface that is not flat, on a surface that is like the Walt Disney Castle in Walt Disneyland, or sometimes other cities will have light festivals in which there's projection mapping and a big image is projected onto a city building of some sort. That's the idea of projection mapping. But Ulmer has, right there in that last sentence, we learn that Ulmer has a love of theme parks. And so that seemed to be a natural, he seemed to be the kind of guy who would develop a restaurant like the gallery with its Elementa show. But that is all the time I'm afraid we have for today. We need to bid you adieu and invite you to come back tomorrow for day two of our article. We'll learn more a little bit about Mr. Ulmer here and what his idea for the gallery restaurant was and how well he may have achieved that. But for today, I'm Peter.
I'm Rhonda.
Saying bye-bye.
Goodbye.